The following podcast is a Dear Media production.
Hi, it's Dr. Will Cole. This podcast is the manifesto for a new breed of health seekers. This is the art of being well. What's up, and welcome to the art of being well. I am a leading functional medicine doctor. I get to consult people around the world via telehealth, and I'm a New York Times bestselling author. If you want to learn more about our clinical work, the telehealth center, we have brand new telehealth patient options now open for people around the world and lots of free resources, all at drwillcole.com. That's drwillcole.com. And listeners, we're giving away free healthy stuff almost every episode. This is one of those times. We're giving away free telehealth consultations. We're giving away free supplement protocol stacks that we have at drwillcole.com. What else are we giving? Free signed books. We're giving away free signed books. All you have to do for a chance to win is head on over to Apple Podcasts and rate and review The Art of Being Well there. Tell us what you love about the show. You can leave your Instagram handle in the Apple Podcast review itself, or you could take a screenshot of that review and message me on Instagram at Dr. Will Cole. And every single month, no matter when you listen to this episode, my team and I go through the messages on Instagram as well as the Apple Podcast reviews themselves and randomly pick winners every single month. And then we'll reach out to you, we'll ask what you want, and we'll send it out to you. Good luck. Let's get to today's guest. His name is Ulrich Dempfel. Ulrich is the CEO and co-founder of Carol, built on his background in mechanical engineering to develop the world's only reduced exertion HIIT or re-HIIT bike alongside leading exercise researchers. Ulrich heads up all aspects of product development at Carol, from data science to software and hardware, making Ulrich the perfect person to talk through the science of re-HIIT, the technology behind Carol's signature workout. I love this workout. Personally, I have seen so many changes since I've started. We recorded this a few weeks back, so I've been consistent with my re-HIIT workout with Carol, and I have loved it so much. So let's jump into the exciting science of re-HIIT. This is Ulrich Dempfel's Art of Being Well. Ulrich, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks for having me.
So I am a massive fan of what you're doing, and people are going to learn so much about their bodies and how to level up their health and different aspects of exercise science that we've never talked about in the podcast before. So thanks for giving me the opportunity to talk with you about it. Let's start with how you got in this space of this sort of fusion of exercise science and AI. Mm-hmm. This bridging of science and nutrition and wellness. What did that look like for you?
So, I mean, a complete coincidence. As you might be able to hear, I'm German. I'm a mechanical engineer. I started my career in automotive industry, then got into healthcare and worked with my co-founders in the UK and internationally with hospitals, with healthcare systems on how to make healthcare more efficient and more effective for patients. And so as part of that, we designed and managed chronic disease management programs for patients, for example, with diabetes, heart conditions, and so on. And exercise is simply one of the most powerful and beneficial interventions for these patients and more broadly. And yet we struggled to get patients to work out. And if you look at the wider population, it's less than 5% of Americans that actually meet government guidelines for aerobic exercise. And if you do scientific surveys on why, the number one answer is consistently lack of time. I don't have time. And so there's clearly a need for shorter, time-efficient exercise. Mm-hmm. And then one day in 2012, so that's a long time ago, we stumbled across a new form of exercise, re-HIIT, reduced exertion, high intensity interval training, which was featured in a BBC Science program that had amazing promise and that was short, effective, easy to do. And we fell in love on first sight. So I saw that show and got myself a traditional exercise bike the very next day. And I had paid good attention as to what features it should have. And I tried it at home and it was nothing like portrayed on the BBC. And so we were very disappointed, but we didn't give up there, but instead contacted the professors that were featured on the program. And the very first thing they told us was, well, you need a special bike. And we're like, oh man, you could have mentioned that. And so we went to their labs and we saw what they did. And they did this rehit workouts with specialized lab equipment that was operated by a lab technician and that applied an optimal resistance very rapidly at exactly the right time. And we thought and tried it. And then it was actually a good experience. It was very doable. It just, there was no equipment or no solution for a broad audience. Mm. And because of this gap in the market, we decided, well, why don't we develop a specialized exercise bike that makes rehit, reduced exertion, high intensity interval training easy to perform for a broad audience of people. And yeah, then it took many years, many prototypes, but we got there. And so we created Carol Bike. That's what it's called. We launched that in 2019, our first version last year, 2022, our second generation. And yeah, there we are. This is how we got to become part of the fitness industry, which is, as I said, it was really by chance, but very happy that it came that way.
I think you're the perfect person to make this happen. This space in the market, coming from that mechanical engineering space and providing something for us in wellness and fitness. Yeah. So you touched upon the concepts of rehit. How would you describe it for somebody that's, never heard of it before? How would you describe rehit?
Yeah, sure. So most people will have heard of HIIT, high intensity interval training. And a typical HIIT program lasts about 20, 30 minutes. And while the benefits are really beyond any doubt, it is actually very difficult for many people. So it's perceived as hard, high level of exertion. And so rehit, reduced exertion HIIT, was developed by scientists looking for the shortest, most effective, and accessible way to exercise. Mm-hmm. And research studies have shown that rehit is the fastest way to get fit with very, very short workouts. So a rehit session consists of only two 20-second sprints. So it's only two 20-second sprints with a very, very light warm-up, recovery, and cool-down. And the workout can be done, so a whole workout can be done in as little as 5 minutes and offers the same or greater benefits as a 45-minute run. And so where HIIT offers high-intensity training, rehit offers maximum intensity training. So you push really momentarily, and that's the key thing. So for a very short moment, you push to your limits, and that creates a different response, a different adaptation pathway that makes you much fitter and stronger.
Amazing. So to repeat back some of the studies, and I've seen similar studies, about a 5-8 minute rehit session is going to get you a lot of the same benefits, most of the same benefits as a 40-45 minute workout of lower intensity. So what are the benefits? What are people getting out of it specifically when they're doing this 5 to 8 minute, a few minutes, let's just say that, of a rehit session?
Yeah. So there are two main benefits. One is you improve your cardiovascular fitness. So in 8 weeks, rehit has been shown to improve cardiorespiratory fitness measured by VO2 max.
Yeah.
By 12.3%. And that's been shown in the lab. And we see that in the data of thousands and thousands of our users, tens of thousands of our users. And so VO2 max, that's your ability to burn oxygen during exercise, is probably the most important physiological health marker. So it's the strongest correlate to life expectancy. And is really a very profound marker of your health. And improving that by 12.3% is really one very meaningful and very noticeable. So it's not subtle. You will notice the improvement in your fitness. So that's number one. Number two is you improve your metabolic health. So you lower your risk of developing metabolic diseases like type 2 diabetes by 62%, again, in only 8 weeks. And now that's the same level of change that you'd see from taking a drug like metformin, but without the side effects. So very profound again. And those are the headline benefits. And then there's really a very long list of further benefit, basically just reflects how important exercise is. So it boosts your metabolism and therefore helps with weight management. It's good for your mental health. It's good for your sleep. It has a long list of further benefits, which is just a reflection of how fundamental and how elemental exercise is and how important it is.
Right. And I think to your point, to get these benefits that apply to lots of exercises, it's the sustainability, right? That people aren't doing it consistently, so they're not going to get the benefits to it. So you're getting maximum benefit in a short period of time, which you'll reap the benefits long-term for it. So that's the massive difference here too. Beyond it being amazing and beneficial for your health, it's something you can actually stick with. Most people can stick with.
That's exactly right. Because so the... How should I say, the sad part about exercise is actually that it's a bit like a diet. It's not a one-off effort. So you can, with exercise, build a really like surprising amount of fitness in, let's say, a 6 to 8 week period. But if you stop, you will lose your gains as fast as you've built them up. Now, that might be disappointing, but that's just what it is. So it's a bit like if you do a crash diet and then you go back to normal eating fast food and junk food and so on, you'll also put on like everything you've lost immediately. And with exercise, it's the same thing. So therefore, you really need to find something that fits into your life, that you can stick to. And there, it's kind of whatever makes it possible for you to stick to. And we find that having a really short and highly effective workout is, for you know, a certain type of people, is a very powerful way to achieve that, and allows you to build a great habit, to build a really sticky routine. And so I do quite religiously every other day in the morning, first thing after I get up, I spend like 6-7 minutes on my Carol bike. I do it before I even get to the bathroom, and I don't have to think about it because it's so an ingrained and established habit that I don't have to negotiate with myself. I just do it. And it's not, do I have time for it? Because I always have time for those 6-7 minutes. So that's very powerful about it. And that seems to be reflected what our users tell us and also what we see in our data. So our new riders hit on average 3.2 rides per week in their first 100 days. And that's exactly kind of the prescription that they should be following.
Great. That was a question that I had, was what's the minimum and what's the recommended recommendation? It sounds a few times a week, about 15 minutes a week. What does that break down to?
Yeah. So it depends a little bit what your objectives are. For cardiorespiratory fitness, the latest research actually suggests that 2 times per week might be enough. For the metabolic health benefits, 3 times per week is certainly better. Like, they're more regular is better. So it's 2 to 3 times per week. And each session is between 5 to 8 minutes, depending on how much you're in a rush. And kind of the key thing is really the 2 20-second sprints. That's where all the magic happens. The warm-up, recovery, and cool down, very, very light. Almost you don't realize that you're exercising. You can focus on your breath work and just recovering after the sprints. So the 2 to 3 times a week, 5 to 8 minutes on the bike, and that's a very, very strong foundation in terms of cardiorespiratory fitness, metabolic health, and cardio training. Now, of course, if you like to do more, the bike is very versatile. You can do many things with it. You can do zone 2 training. You can have all sorts of third-party apps on it. So you can, if you want to, do like traditional HIIT that burns a hell of a lot of calories. So there's an awful lot on it. But those re-HIIT workouts give you, in minimum time, a really strong foundation.
Got it. And I have so many thoughts about all those things, because I just got my bike. I'm excited to get into it and try it because I'm such a fan of it. So I had to get one for myself. So let's go back a second. You mentioned VO2 max and this important cardiometabolic marker and seeing that improve. I think you said 12% in 8 weeks. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right.
How does somebody track that? How does somebody get a baseline for their VO2 max and see that improve?
So we have several ways. First, for each rehit ride, because it's a smart exercise bike, you get a whole, so there's a dashboard and you get a whole basket of important metrics, but maybe the most important metric is your fitness score. Now, the fitness score is not identical to VO2 max, but it's been designed to track VO2 max. And so if you see your fitness score improve, then you can be confident, and on average, it's definitely true, you can be confident that your VO2 max improved by the same percentage amount, the same percentage level. The reason it's not the same is because the rehit sprints are actually anaerobic sprints, and VO2 max measures your maximum ability to metabolize oxygen during aerobic exercise. So it's really not the same, but it's been designed so that one tracks the other. And so that you would get with every single workout. And then in our dashboard, you can very nicely track your progress, apart from, like, there's no question you will feel it, because it's not subtle. So, I mean, I do many things that I hope are helpful for my health, for my well-being. And for some, quite a few of them, I do it because I have belief and faith that good things will happen, but I can't actually tell whether it makes a difference. So I don't know, like some supplements I take, which they, you know, I read the science. I like the recommendation. I trust the people who recommend it. And so I take it. But could I, hand on heart, swear, yes, I feel it? There's actually quite few where I can feel that difference. With rehit on a Carol bike, you will feel the difference, absolutely. So it's not like a subtle thing, or so that, oh, maybe I got a bit fitter. No, you will feel it, absolutely.
What are some of the benefits that people notice, like the initial body changes that people can see?
Mm-hmm. So your fitness levels improve, and they improve very noticeably, and it's not a subtle change at all. So as you're using the bike, with every workout, with every rehit workout you're doing, you do get a whole set of metrics and you get a dashboard. And one really important metric is your fitness score. And the fitness score has been designed to track your VO2 max. And so even though it is quite a different thing, because rehit workouts are short anaerobic sprints and VO2 max is your ability to burn oxygen during aerobic exercise, one has been designed to track the other. And so you can quite precisely see from workout to workout and from week to week how your fitness levels, your cardio fitness improves. At the same time, you don't really need that metric, because the change is so profound and noticeable that you will simply feel it. So what our users tell us, and I quote there, that where they previously struggled to, say, walk up a flight of stairs or a few flights of stairs, they afterwards told us they fly up the stairs. So it's a very noticeable and not subtle at all change in your fitness that just makes you perform better everyday task, or perform better in the sports you do, and so on. So that's kind of, you feel it, you get your fitness score. Then we have also a number of other protocols, a number of other workouts and fitness tests on the bike that let you directly test and estimate your VO2 max. So those are also with basically everything we put on the bike. We only put on the bike if there's a scientific basis for it. So the protocols on there have been well studied and implement basically scientific research that we trust and that we found convincing. And so there are specific VO2 max tests on there that you could do periodically and then also get a direct estimate for VO2 max. But I think for most people, the seeing how their fitness score improves and just how they feel will be and should be enough.
Yeah. And so many more people are interested in longevity and supporting longevity pathways. Obviously, improving cardiometabolic health is essential when you're talking about longevity. Are there any other mechanisms of action, pathways that this type of exercise, rehit specifically, has been shown to support longevity?
So the link is directly between VO2 max and the exercise. So a 10% improvement in VO2 max adds about 2 years of healthy life expectancy, 2 year life expectancy. So that's very profound, and what you can achieve in only 8 weeks. Or another way to visualize it is after the age of 30, cardiovascular fitness, VO2 max, declines on average by 10% per decade. So in only 8 weeks, you can get an improvement of 12%. And so effectively turning back the clock on your fitness by over a decade. So there's a very, amazing, very strong link to longevity.
Beautiful. So walk people through what a session looks like. They're going to see a bike, just like walk people through visually what they're going to do. They're going to get on the bike naturally. They're going to turn on the bike. Let's start with the simplest stuff. But how does this look different? Because it's a different experience and it uses AI. So if you could take us through visually what a session looks like. We went over the time length, but what does the actual experience feel like and look like? And then how's AI interplayed? What's AI's role in determining this optimal re-hit experience?
Yeah, sure. So the bike, and we suffer from that obviously a little bit, looks like an exercise bike with a screen as they have become more common over the past few years.
And I will say aesthetically, for people, I mean, this is not important from a science or health standpoint, but it is a beautiful bike. It's streamlined and it's very space efficient too. It's not clunky and huge. So I appreciate that German engineering that you brought to it.
Thank you. No, yeah, and that's obviously important. We wanted to also build something that's beautiful and that
people beautiful.
Want to work out on. So we wanted the experience to be as simple as possible. So when you register an account, the re-hit workout will be calculated based on what you tell us. So your weight, your height, your age, your gender, your activity levels. And we make a good estimate as to what the optimal resistance is for you. And we can make good estimates because we have tens of thousands of users and by far the largest re-hit database in the world by now. So far larger than any of the universities who research this. Then the first three rides actually are a bit like getting used to rides. You start with just 2 10-second sprints so that you get a feel for the exercise. The bike learns something about you. And this is basically an introduction. And then the full re-hit workout is with 2 20-seconds. So you have first up to 2 minute warm-up. You can do that. You can shorten it if you want, but up to 2 minute warm-up at very low intensity. You can just loosen your joints a little bit, focus on your breath work, on breathing, relax. Mm-hmm. Then the screen will turn red and you're guided through the workout. And it's like a soundscape. It's like a tiger is chasing you. And all you have to do is just pedal as fast as you can. And there are no buttons or so. The bike is controlled by a computer, by the electronics and the algorithms, and will then automatically apply your optimal resistance at the optimal time. And that is also the key to getting to maximum intensity, is to accelerate very fast. And then after you've reached a high cadence, so you're pedaling really fast, the optimal resistance is applied rapidly and automatically. And then you have your sprint and you reach your peak power after 2, 3, 4 seconds. And you can only hold your peak power literally for a moment, for a second. And then you will fatigue throughout the sprint. And that's normal and that's intended. And then there's a short recovery period, the second sprint, and then a 3 minute cool down for you to recover and for your body to normalize, because you do put it momentarily under a stress. Yeah. The AI comes in. So when you first start using the bike, we estimate based on the things you tell us. As you continue, we look at your performance through the sprints, and having basically now hundreds and hundreds of thousands of rides, we can, based on the shape of the curve, determine the optimal resistance for you. And so we will very quickly find the optimal resistance for you now, and then the bike will, and our algorithms will continue to optimize that as you get fitter and stronger. So it will make it challenging so that you get the maximum benefit from the exercise for a continued time. Or it will also ease off if it's too hard for you. If you had an injury, if you were traveling and couldn't work out in that time, it will adjust. So the bike adjusts to you. And that makes it a workout that is suitable for almost any age and fitness levels. And so can be done by a 30-year-old CrossFit athlete who's like super fit, as well as my mom, who's 81 now and not super fit, but uses the bike every other day. And it helps her very much to maintain cardio fitness, even though she has other issues, that mobility issues that would make it hard for her to maintain that. And so it's really suitable for a very broad range of users. Now, the sprint, so what we do, and this is kind of also goes to the science as to why 2 20-second sprints so effective. What we do is we simulate an emergency situation. So for a very short moment, we put you into a situation that's like where you have to fight for your life or run for your life. So it's very intense, and the bike makes it simple to perform. It's not easy. So you do have to work hard momentarily, but it's very, very short. So in those 2 20-second sprints, we create a very pronounced, very steep, sudden spike in energy demand that's about 100-fold greater compared to rest. And so while muscles are usually able to burn fat or sugar from your bloodstream, the sudden increase in energy demand forces your muscle to burn muscular glycogen. So that's a storage form of sugar stored locally in the muscles. And it's kind of your emergency energy reserve. And what's really the clever bit and the hack, if you want to call it that way, is that your muscles mobilize a lot more glycogen than is actually needed for those short sprints. So you switch on this high energy demand immediately. Your muscles think, I mean, they don't think, but that's literally what happens. Prepare for a fight or flight situation and mobilize lots and lots of energy. Mm-hmm. And glycogen is a large molecule of branched polysaccharides. And rather than mobilizing a few molecules and metabolizing them completely, your muscles mobilize lots and lots of glycogen molecules and just nibble at the outer edges. And therefore, we can achieve a glycogen depletion. So we can empty your glycogen stores by something like 25 to 30% with those short sprints, even though you don't use all of it. But the important bit is really just the mobilization of the glycogen, because bound to the glycogen are certain molecules like AMPK that get released with the glycogen and that then trigger the release of further molecules, specifically PGC1 alpha, which is a master regulator, the master regulator for mitochondrial biogenesis. And so with that glycogen depletion, we trigger and tell your body that it has to develop, grow more and larger mitochondria. And that, because that enables you to metabolize, to use oxygen, and that helps improve your VO2 max. And that is just a very different biological response and adaptation pathway than you'd have in longer steady state cardio. So the mechanism is just completely different in terms of how you trigger the physiological change. The other changes as well in terms of vascular capillarization and just how much blood your heart can pump, but it's all triggered by this rapid switch in terms of your energy demand and the glycogen mobilization. And it is intense, but it is very, very short. It's very, very short and time effective. You also get used to it. And so what our users tell us, what I feel, is that it is actually a very simple and sustainable way to create a workout habit.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Thanks for walking us through that. And I think of that cascade that you mentioned, the VO2 max, and then this synergy of things happening with AMPK That's another longevity, antioxidant yeah. pathway, and mitochondrial biogenesis. Your body, for everybody that's listening or watching this, your mitochondria, your cellular energy factory is actually being able to become more efficient and stronger and more optimal. It's powerful. What, you know, there's a lot of conversation of the past 5-6 years or so of an ancient concept, but there's mm-hmm. new science around of hormesis or hormetic mm-hmm. effects. Is what you're describing implicated in the hormetic effects? Is that kind of what the science yeah. is pointing to, the partially the benefits?
Yes, yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Because very short, so momentarily you put your body through a stress, a hormetic stress. In fact, so one of the only ways how we can disturb homeostasis and basically drop ATP levels that we know of. So, and this is, it is a stress, no question, but it's a very powerful stress that leads to very helpful adaptations. And, you know, there are other things like that. I think, for example, sauna and cold plunges are actually also beneficial through a similar pathways and also trigger PGC1 alpha release and mitochondrial biogenesis through the same signaling molecule. So yes, it absolutely fits into that pattern that if you have a stress, it doesn't have to be necessarily a bad thing. In fact, it can make you stronger.
Mm-hmm. More resilient.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
And it, with these 2 20-second sprints, it's a very powerful way to trigger that pathway. And there's actually, I mean, really curious things. One thing that's not terribly well understood, but which seems to be observed, is that if you did more or longer sprints, you wouldn't actually get further benefit because mm-hmm. the thought is, so that's just an empirical observation with limited data, of course, that if researchers tried different workouts with more sprints, 3, 4, 5, 6 sprints, or longer sprints, 30, 40 seconds, mm-hmm. and so on, that they actually got less improvement in VO2 mm-hmm. max. And so mm-hmm. what is thought to be the explanation is that with longer sprints and more sprints, you pace yourself. So you know, oh, I have to go through all of this. And you hold back, you don't go all out. Whereas mm-hmm. 220 seconds is so short that basically by the time the pain kicks in, you're almost done. And so it's short enough to go all out momentarily and therefore trigger this response, which mm-hmm. if you do longer and more sprints, you don't get, and or you seem to get less of. So there mm-hmm. seems to be, just a sweet spot with those 220-second yeah. sprints.
Which makes it easier for us because it's a lot more sustainable and doable. It's only a few minutes. And it is further to that concept of hormesis, is that the dose makes the medicine or the poison, right? Yeah, you don't want, not saying this is absolutely a poison to do more, but you have diminishing returns. More isn't always better. And that's beautiful for us because we can leverage these benefits. And I remember researching this concept for a book. It was one of my intuitive fasting, my book, is that the mythology around, I don't know if it's historically accurate, but the myth around the concept of hormesis came from a royal king somewhere in the Middle Ages, I think, in the Black Sea region, I think, somewhere. And his mother was supposedly trying to poison him, which if you know anything about royal history, that is definitely true. Mm-hmm. Their family members were always trying to poison them. And that he would take low doses of this poison. And then when he actually was poisoned, he lived. So that's where this, now science is showing what that means, is that dosed good stress makes your body more resilient. Yeah.
Exactly. And we have here a dose of stress that is, it's not easy, but it's definitely very simple and it's definitely doable. And it's something that many people will be able to fit into their life.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. So we're doing this a few times a week. You mentioned the bike is versatile because you also can do traditional HIIT training. You can do zone 2. So let's talk about both of those. So let's say we do HIIT. We're consistent with the HIIT, few minutes a week. 3 times a week, about 15 minutes total for the week, everybody. And how would you recommend, if at all, I mean, do you recommend we do any other type of cardio exercise and using the bike in different ways?
Yeah. So first of all, yes, we've built the bike to allow actually a whole range of different things. So there's other HIIT workouts, like we call them fat burn series, where you burn a phenomenal amount of calories during the workout, also after the workout. So with massive levels of afterburn. There's zone-based training. You can use it with streaming apps. So whatever, YouTube, Disney Plus, whatever you want. You can use it with, if you're so inclined, with Peloton Digital to do group classes. And it's compatible with a whole range of cycling apps. So if you have a Carbon road bike and you're into Swift or KinoMap or so, then you can do that very well on the bike as well. So there's a whole range of things. And you can also do zone-based training. And especially zone two training has gained a lot of traction. Many people talk about it. And it's very well. So the bike is a perfect tool for that.
For people that are unaware of zone two, can you explain it and how they do it?
Yeah. So that's a pace where you can still hold a conversation and where
the talk test.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Right? So that's a good thing. And the bike would automatically keep you in the right power zone and heart rate zone and adjust the resistance based on that. And so what the recommendation is for, let's say, optimal fitness and longevity, that you also add three longer sessions, up to 60 to 90 minutes of zone two training into your weekly workout. And the bike is very well suited for that. I would just say for that, so first, I think the concept of zone two training has actually gained more traction than scientific studies would justify. It's really a concept that came from elite cycling and percolated through, you know, big influencers into the mainstream. And the suggestion was that, oh, you should do 80% zone two and 20% zone five. So that's the very vigorous and high intensity training. And that is certainly true for elite cyclists or elite sports people who train 30 hours a week. So they couldn't do more than 6-7 hours really high intensity work per week. And so they spent the rest of the time in zone two. If you do have, let's say, 3-4 hours for cardio exercise per week, perfect. Mm-hmm. Do 3 times rehit per week. So 3 times 5 to 8 minutes. And then mix in some zone two. And you can, I don't know, watch a movie in parallel or listen to music or listen to podcasts. Yeah, those are great things to do. However, if you have only 30 minutes per week, then the 80-20 rule just doesn't apply anymore in my book. Then you should really focus on the rehit workouts and get a very strong foundation. Yeah. And then rather try to have, like otherwise keep like activity in your lifestyle, like walking instead of driving and cycling instead of commuting on train or so. So if you only have 30 minutes or if you have only 15 minutes, then our recommendation would very clearly be focus on the rehit high intensity exercises, because that will give you a very strong foundation and the greatest bang for your buck. If you have little time and you spend it in low intensity, you couldn't expect too much really. So this is the zone two is fantastic. So for mitochondrial function and mitochondrial efficiency, if you have the time, if you have like 3-5 hours per week, absolutely do it. It's wonderful. We would never, like, it's just exercise generally is good. Is probably after sleep the most powerful thing you can do for your health and well-being. So we would never poo-poo any of that, but it's really how much time do you have? And if you struggle for time, focus on the things that give you the greatest return.
Yeah. Well said. Because the research that we talked about earlier, to be clear, around rehit workouts stands on its own without any additional changes, correct?
That's right. And it's not something we invented. We, in essence, like, a bit cliche, but standing on the shoulders of giants. Yeah. So we found really compelling, we stumbled across, really coincidence, we stumbled across very, very compelling scientific research, fell in love and built something on it. By now, we're working with many of the leading researchers in that field. So, and they use these days Carol bikes for not all, but some of their studies. And so we're collaborating closely with them. And if there's new stuff, then we incorporate that on the bike so that we help basically distribute and communicate and popularize new scientific research.
Well said. Well, we've busted a lot of myths today as far as cardio exercise. I mean, the biggest one I think that people are going to get out of this conversation, beyond obviously what it does for them and really learning about the science of it, is the fact that you don't have to be working out 40 minutes, 60 minutes when you're talking about cardio workouts to get a maximum benefits. Now, you know, everybody, if you're doing it this way, the rehit way, you're getting these benefits in a few minutes. Are there any other myths around cardio exercise or exercise as a whole that you want to clear up for everybody that you wish more people knew about?
I think I got my main point across, really, that think about what's sustainable, what can you stick to, what will be easy to maintain and sustain, because you will have to stick to it. Otherwise, yeah, the benefits get lost as quickly as they were gained. That is just the simple truth. And for some people, it's about entertainment and having distraction and maybe a gamified experience or having celebrity instructors. Absolutely. But for many people, the motivating things is results, getting great results and getting them in minimum time. And that's what we try to serve and what we try to offer.
Yeah. I have to ask this question because I've been thinking about it all weekend preparing for our conversation, is where did the name Carol come from for the company?
Yeah, sure. So that's an abbreviation for cardiovascular optimization logic. And it's the name that we've given to our AI that adjusts the workout and the resistance to make it optimal for everybody and keeps optimizing it. So it's a bit like HAL, like a heuristic algorithm in Odyssey, Space Odyssey 2000, or Wiki, like some of these AI personas in pop culture that had a name. So
I love it.
Who knows? Maybe we'll build her out a bit more, but that's where Carol came from.
I love it. It's also coincidentally the name of my mother-in-law. So when I see it, I think, oh, there's my mother-in-law. It would look greater in her house, right? Because it has her name on the bike. But I figured it was an acronym. I could have looked into it, but I was more interested to get your hot take on it in real time. I figured it was an algorithm. And I love that. So something I told you off topic a little bit was before we started recording was that I love your accent because it's this awesome hybrid of German and English because you've been in London for 20 years. Now, my question is, and it's so funny, maybe you can tell people the story, is that when I heard your accent, I thought, people just automatically, when you say something, especially around numbers and data or money, they'll automatically trust you. And you had a story to go along with that. Can you share with everybody?
Yeah, of course. So yes, you're not the first one to observe that. And as I mentioned before, I worked for many years in consulting in healthcare. And in fact, we pioneered the use of AI algorithms in healthcare in the UK. And so I had it, partners at the firm I worked with at the time were pretty clear that I had to present the analysis because my German accent would instantly create trust and greater acceptance that the numbers must be right. So, but it's not a deception. This is a solid thing. So Carol Bike has been built as something that we want to really help people. We want to shift the needle on what is an inactivity epidemic, and it's built on solid research. And everything we put on the bike has a scientific foundation. So we don't just make up workouts and say, like, oh, this is something fun. But it's the workouts are on there because they're research papers that have shown their effectiveness. Mm-hmm. And so, yes, while the German accent might help, this is not just a facade.
No, it's not as all. I mean, you as a person, you can tell you just live and breathe this research and the data, and it's so research driven. But beyond that, I mean, if you just talk about the cliches and the stereotypes, there's a reason why that as a human stereotype exists, because it's true. Because there's a precision and a quality to German engineering as a whole. So you just start fitting a horrible American stereotype.
That's right. And I did start my career. In fact, when I was a teenager, when I discussed with my dad what I wanted to be one day and what I wanted to do with my life, I did actually say, I want to build something, design something that you can sit on. And I thought of it more like a car or an aeroplane, and I started in automotive industry. Who would have known that one day I actually design a bike, and obviously you can sit on it and have a product. So while it's been pure coincidence, maybe there was an element of fate also in there.
Yeah.
I remember that very vividly, and he told me, like, yeah, study mechanical engineering. Strange.
You never know where life will bring you.
Absolutely.
Never know it. Do you, for yourself, you said you do the rehit 3 times a week. Is that your main cardio workout? Are you doing anything else, or are you just focused on the rehit?
So that is my main cardio workout. Quite often I also do a 5K run on a Sunday, and that's more because I take one of my sons to football training and then do laps around the pitch.
He's in practice. Yeah.
So that would be another thing. No, and then I do a lot of other workouts, but that's mainly about weightlifting. So I spend actually much more time, because I get my cardio done so quickly.
Yeah, right.
I spend much more time on lifting weights. And so there with another son. So I've got 3 sons. And with one of them, I spend usually also every weekend long gym session, and then do the other mornings when I don't do Carol at home, like a short lifting routine. So, so just to be clear, so Carol gives you a really great foundation for cardio fitness, and actually also improves leg strength. But there's obviously some more stuff that's really beneficial, and lifting weights, I can only recommend, like, I think everybody should do some weight training, especially after 40 or so, because building muscle mass is also a really important component to physical fitness. And I think makes you also happy. So it's a good thing.
Mm-hmm. Agreed. How long are you spending? And I love this because you have so much more time to work out, focusing on strength training with weights and picking up, you know, heavy things, appropriately heavy things, everybody be safe. But because you're not spending all this time doing cardio, how much time through the week, you mentioned with your sons or whatever, you're doing with strength training with weights specifically?
So during the week in the mornings, if I'm not doing Carol, I just do a short, sharp lifting session, 4 or 5 big compound movements, one set, always to failure. So pushing as hard as you can. And I think, so this is really, I think it's true for all form of workouts, that if you want to have gains, you have to push yourself. Yeah. Doesn't have to be a lot, but one set, and then you go as hard and to failure. So that would be during the week, only maybe 15 minutes or so. And then on the weekend, no, we do a long session. We're like 2 hours in the gym easily, where we do big compound movements, squat, deadlift, bench, try to hit new PRs every week. Yeah, which is hard my age, but I'm still getting better a little bit. There are obviously tools. There are some very cool machines available that also make strength training incredibly time effective. Sadly, in London, I don't have a studio that offers that. So in the US, if you have a studio that has AirX machines, or the exercise coach has a cool set of machines, Exabotics, that's incredibly powerful to get a very, very effective strength training session in. I'm still hoping that somebody will open up a location here.
Yeah, because you have to go typically, because they're really expensive, right?
I mean, that's it.
These are places
with strength training, if you want to, so they're exactly the same philosophy, that you do single set to failure under constant maximum load. And so you can do a full strength session in something like 6 minutes net, but that requires very expensive machines. Yeah. So those are not even thousands, they're tens of thousands, maybe even more if you wanted those. Mm-hmm. So that's more like for, I mean, I know some people who have them at home, but that's rare.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the people I know typically will go to a fitness center and do it. Yeah. Going back, I want to digress again for a second.
That's okay.
The accent, I love it so much. When you go back, but this is so stupid, but when you go back to Munich, do people in Munich say you sound more English? You're losing your accent, or no?
No, the German is still the German.
Really? Because I hear such an English undertone to it. And I just wonder, have they felt like you've lost your, like, Germanness? No.
No. That's hey, I've
maybe it's
that.
Just me. I've been in telehealth for so long. I'm bragging on myself because this is like such a dumb, like, talent, but I can tell, especially around the United States, almost like exactly where they're from listening to them talk. Yeah. And it, like for you, it's a, nobody cares. Nobody even wants my talent, but it, for me, it is like a hobby for me to like guess where people are from without them telling me.
I know. I have family in Australia, and if they come over, they can't help laughing how British my accent sounds.
So some people do get excited. I hear it.
Yeah.
I love it. As you know, the podcast is called The Art of Being Well. At the end of every episode, we have Your Art of Being Well. So I'm going to pick your brain on random things within health and wellness and self-care. First question is, what is the worst tasting healthy food? It tastes disgusting, but you still eat it because it has some amazing nutrition science behind it, benefits. You just have to choke it down.
I think I have to pass on that. I think there's so many good, well-tasting healthy foods. I don't eat anything that I don't like.
Okay, so you're not a masochist. All right.
Well, not when it comes to food. No, no. So there's, I find the choice is so, so there's so many, obviously I try to like avoid things that come in a shiny wrapper, and I actually really enjoy cooking. So I know what I actually eat, but I find there's enough mm-hmm. choice to actually make, I don't have to compromise. Hey. What do you eat? That's horrible.
Yeah, I've heard, and this is true for me too. I've heard like organ meats. I'm not a fan of them, but I'll eat them. I'll mix them and like hide them. But oh, the camera just gave me a thumbs up. I will do. I've heard like spirulina, like different bitter like algaes and things like that. I've had some people say kale, things like that. I mean, things that aren't necessarily the tastiest thing in the world.
Yes, I agree, but I can't be. I just don't eat those fish oil. So I think omega 3 fish oil supplements. That's a very good thing. And I think actually that I notice. Yeah, one of the supplements where I feel that gives a noticeable benefit that might not taste, but it's very marginal. Yeah. Very marginal.
Omega fish oil, is that what you said?
Yeah. Exactly.
Are you taking in like a capsule or
in a capsule? Like in a capsule. Okay, and it's not something that's like mildly bad tasting, but not.
No. Yeah. I've had people say cod liver oil with not the capsule. Mm-hmm. It's just like a swig of cod liver oil, which is not for the faint of heart.
I wouldn't want to do that.
maybe let's go there. So supplements, you mentioned, mm-hmm. you know, taking some supplements and not noticing the benefit, but you know the science behind it and supporting some deficiency, etc. Are there any supplements that you take that you feel has or can tell it's been supportive of your health, and which are the supplements for you?
Sure. So I take not too many, somewhere between, I don't know, 5, 6, 7. I think so. Omega-3, I think, has really good evidence, and I tend to feel that it makes me also more relaxed. I don't know whether that's true or whether I'm whether this is some like auto-suggestive mm-hmm. behavior or so, but I feel it's helpful. Magnesium, very clearly, I find magnesium is very effective and helpful. And one way is, for example, reducing cramps. So that's great, and I love it. Creatine, making me stronger. So that helping my deadlift. So creatine is, I think, a very useful supplement. Probiotics. Yeah, I do think there's something directly noticeable in terms of gut health and how that manifests, and without going into gory detail. But so yeah, those are some that are really helpful. Others I take because I kind of believe in them.
Can you give me one of those that you're like, all right, I'm interested in the science on it. I want to believe it. I'll notice a difference. What would that be for you?
Yeah, sure. So just a good multivitamin as kind of mm-hmm. just to keep my base covered. Can't say that I notice any difference. Mm-hmm. Vitamin D, for example, NAD supplements, NR or so. This is, I can't really say that it's noticeable, mm-hmm. but at least I hope that it will be good.
I love it. Hey, it's completely fine to experiment, and you're actually like researching this stuff. All right. Another question I had was travel and self-care in that realm. What is a place you've traveled to that still isn't like you would recommend for everybody to consider visiting?
Okay. Yeah. So mountains, hiking. I love hiking with my boys. And with my dad, actually, we've been managed there to span an incredibly long. So my youngest son is nine. My dad is 81, but we're still doing like multi-day hiking tours in the Alps. And that's amazing. Something very, very special for us. So the big plan this summer, and I feel we've got it, is to hike up the Zugspitze, which is the highest mountain in Germany. I mean, it's still small compared to what else you could do. It's not like ultra high, but it's just very, very beautiful. There'll be a two-day tour. And yeah, it's very special. Very special.
That's awesome. What part of the German Alps? And somewhere in Bavaria, somewhere?
Yeah, exactly. It's in Bavaria. So I'm from Munich. And the Zugspitze is kind of Garmisch-Partenkirchen. It's a very beautiful part of Germany. It just straddles with Austria. And you get these immense views with lots of stone. And for me, it's how should I say, it's almost like, put it into the right words, but it's not just the physical activity that I find great, but it's almost like a spiritual thing.
Yeah.
To be in the mountains and have this awesomeness just. And then doing it with family is like extra cool and very special for us.
Well, we talk about on the podcast about the science out of Japan and South Korea of what the Japanese term Shinrin-yoku is, the forest bathing. I think that's what you're explaining. It's the immersion, this sort of sensorial nature as a medicine and meditation aspect of it, which is independent of the physical exercise.
Yeah, exactly.
Has nothing to do with the physical exercise, actually.
And to be honest, I feed off it kind of months after and months ahead. So it's really something very that sticks with you. So very rewarding. The both the memory and the anticipation is just that makes me happy. Yeah.
I love it. I did some mild hiking years ago in the Bavaria area. And it's probably such a touristy thing, but it was still in my mind, even till to this day, one of the most beautiful places that I've been to is the Castle Neuschwanstein.
Oh yeah.
Have you been there before? It's like, I think it's someone told me that it was Walt Disney's, one of his inspirations for the Walt Disney Castle.
Yeah.
Because that's what it looks like. Have you been there before?
Yes, I have. I have. You've got to. I know. And my mom sneers at it a little bit because we have in Bavaria, in Germany, we have castles that are 1,000 years old and older and very authentic. And Neuschwanstein is a relatively recent build, but it was by a very romantic person, designed it and built it, and it's most beautiful. And yes, absolutely. It was, as I heard that story too, that Disney sent a team of designers and researchers across Europe to get inspired what a castle should look like. And Neuschwanstein very clearly gave a lot of inspiration with the beautiful towers and so on. But that's okay. It's a most beautiful place. They've chosen it very carefully where they put it.
Yeah, for sure. What's a book that you've read in the past year? It could be fiction or nonfiction that was just paradigm shifting for you, or a very inspirational read for you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So I have to admit, maybe in the last year, I haven't read such a book. So I've read very good books in the last year. So for example, Outlive from Peter Thiel, great book.
Yeah.
I think he puts a little bit too much emphasis on zone two, as we've said, but it's a great book. And it's very, I think he's very well grounded in terms of what's really important. And he's got his priorities absolutely right. So that's a great book. If I had to recommend one book to everybody, but this I've read like more like 10 years ago, is The Better Angels of Our Nature by Steven Pinker. That was really, it changed my perspective on society, on history, and how to kind of process the news. Because in it, he looks at violence over our history. And actually, while you know, with ever like the news cycle and whatever X and we, all the bad news are so ever present, but he takes, I mean, a very, he takes that step back and lays out in great detail. I mean, fantastic researcher, how we're actually living in very peaceful times and how we've become more and more peaceful over time. And that's obviously there's enough bad news in the world, and we wanted to improve further, but it keeps things into perspective. It's not that like it was the good old times just a few decades or a few centuries or a few millennia ago. No, like those were pretty harsh times too. And things are actually pretty good.
I love that. I'm always trying to find books about that, looking at the statistical aspects of things like violence and disease and life. Yeah. I mean, what was life like? And go on. Sorry.
He's an amazing researcher. I don't follow him very closely now, so I'm not sure what his latest pronouncement are, but that is really a very, very impressive book, very well researched, and also such a good read that really I find helps to maintain kind of mental sanity and put all the bad news that we're bombarded with every day into perspective and, you know, maintain calm and have actually a more positive outlook on the world and on humankind.
Well said. I mean, I'm such a history nerd, and I know, I mean, I'm not a history, like, I'm not a researcher of history, but just reading so much history books, you just, a light, cursory look at human existence. We live in the best time in human history. And I love, and you wouldn't know that to watch the news because it's not this 24-hour fear cycle.
Exactly. If it bleeds, it leads. And then we head that all the time. When actually, things are not that bad. It's pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah. Could you imagine in the Plantagenet era in England, them having X and Fox News or whatever, the BBC? Yeah.
Death and violence was everywhere. And no wonder everybody, I mean, there's just a different world. We weren't noble savages. It was more like brutish.
And the savages were always the other person, let alone they were just as savage as the people they call savage. Anyways, so where do people go, Rick? Where do people go to learn all about the things we talked about today?
Yeah, sure. So haroldbike.com is our website and our web store. We have a ton of information on there, all the links to the original research. So, so you can learn a lot about there. We have a team of fitness advisors. If you want to have like a consultation to talk through and discuss with somebody who actually has an MSc in exercise science, whether it might be the right thing for you, you can make an appointment, a call with us. You can follow us on all the socials. It's at the Carol Bike. And then one thing, so we sell directly from our website. You can order it there. You get free delivery. And we offer a risk-free 100-day trial. So because we don't have showrooms, that's just not something we have. Yeah. We offer our customers a 100-day trial. That's, I think, industry-leading. I don't know of anybody else who's doing that. And that's definitely enough time to see whether you like it, whether you can stick to it, and whether it's effective for you, whether you can feel the difference. If the answer is no to any of those questions, if you don't like it, you can't stick to it or so, you can just give it back. You give us a call, we pick it up and you get a full refund. So that's, and we do that because we don't have showrooms and it's a new and innovative concept, but there is a risk-free way of experiencing it. And lucky for us, most people love it and actually want to keep the bike then. So that's a good thing.
Absolutely. Visually it's chic, has that beautiful engineering, but the benefits speak for themselves and it's so sustainable. People have no excuses. You think of how much freaking time we spend on our dang phones. We have 5 minutes, 3 times a week, please. And I have a code for everybody. It's code Will Cole, all one word, code Will Cole. You get $100 off your bike. Again, you try it for 100 days. And see it for yourself. But again, code Will Cole, $100 off at carolbike.com, everybody. It's CarolBike.com. Like my mother-in-law, Carol, shout out to Carol. CarolBike.com, only this is the AI. I now have 2 Carols in my life.
Very good.
Thanks so much, Ulrich.
Thank you.
This has been such a great conversation.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I really enjoyed that. Thank you.
Thanks again for listening to The Art of Being Well. If you have a chance, please rate and review the podcast here. And if you like what you're hearing, hit follow and pass it along to a friend. To see more, head to drwillcole.com/podcast. I'll be back every Monday and Thursday, and I hope you will too. Talk soon.
Note that this episode may contain paid endorsements and advertisements for products and services. Individuals on the show may have a direct or indirect financial interest in products or services referred to in this episode.